But there we go. Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's Sunday morning, 10:30, July 23rd. And this is a contrarian view of the book of Esther. And I know the stories of Esther. I've seen the plays on Esther. The Jews, the chosen people of God, and they go in there and they're a persecuted minority, and they turn the tables, and by God's providence, they slaughter their enemies and they take over, and everybody live happily ever after. And that's a wonderful story if you're a Jew. It's a great story if you're a Jew. It's a wonderful story. No wonder the Jews made a national holiday based on the story of Esther in the book of Esther. The book of Esther is part of the Bible, which is fascinating in and of itself. The book of Esther is part of, it's eternal. It's the eternal word of God. The book of Esther is the eternal word of God. It will never go away. Ever. For all eternity, you will have the book of Esther as a representation of who the Jews are and what the Jews did, and what the Jews do, their TTPs, tactics, techniques, protocols, practices. It's never going away. And if you're a Jew, it's a great book to follow. I'm going to give you a contrarian view today. If you're not a Jew, it's a great warning. If you're not a Jew, the book of Esther is a great warning. It's a great warning to the church. If you're a Jew, it's a great book to practice if you don't mind being in rebellion against God, if you don't mind abandoning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you don't mind abandoning the law of Moses, it's a great book. If any of those are of concern with you, Esther is a warning. The book of Esther has no reference to God in it, none. It's a book by Jews, of Jews, for Jews. There's no reference to God Almighty in the book of Esther. None. It doesn't say God. There's no G-O-D in the book of Esther. They pray, they fast. Native American Indians have prayed and fasted for centuries before they even heard the word of Jesus Christ. Buddhists pray and fast. Atheists fast all the time. It doesn't have to be to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is Jesus Christ. Book of Esther has no reference to the law of God, no references to the law of Moses, no references to the prophets, no references to the patriarchs. None. Zero. It's a story of Jews, by Jews, for Jews. If you're a Jew, if you're a godless Jew, and they are in the book of Esther, it's a great story. And to this day, Purim is the high holy day for the Jew. They celebrate the day of Purim. What's the day of Purim? It's when they physically slaughter their enemies. These Jews are living in a foreign land. They're not living in the land of Canaan. Mind you, they're not living in the land of Canaan. They're living in somebody else's land. They're living in somebody else's territory. They're living in the kingdom. They're living in an empire. This is really important. In fact, I think I ought to start off by reading a few scriptures to you. How about doing that on a Sunday morning for church, right? And as you listen and learn about the book of Esther, keep these scriptures in mind. And we're going to go through the scriptures in Esther, but keep these in mind. Isaiah 65, verse 11, "But when you forsake the Lord, you who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune and fill cups mixed with wine for destiny." Set a table for fortune. What's Purim? It's fortune. It's the casting of the lots. You who cast the lots, you who forsake the Lord, you who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune and fill cups mixed with wine for a destiny. This is the godless Jew. Purim is the casting of the lots. Purim is the casting of the lots. It's a table set for fortune. It's Isaiah 65, verse 11. That was written before the book of Esther. God saw what they were doing. God knew what they were doing. I'm going to have to pull this right off my website. If you go to bloodandfaith.com, the top article will have this. Purim, Esther 3, verse 7. peer, that is the lot, was cast before Haman from day to day and from month to month. All right, and who picks up that practice? The casting of the lot was being done by a pagan man and a pagan nation and a pagan society. Who picks that up? The Jews do. The Jews are not equal to the sons of Israel. They're not. You got to give that up. You cannot equate the two. Deuteronomy 12, verse 30. Beware that you're not ensnared and to follow them. Who? The other nations, the pagan nations. After they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? That I may do likewise. The Jews in the book of Esther followed after the pagan nations and adopted their customs, the casting of the lot. Purim is a pagan custom, and they made it into a high holy day. And we're going to see that as we go through the book of Esther. I want you to know there's a warning against that. All throughout the book of Deuteronomy, do not adopt the customs of the nations. In the book of Esther, the Jews adopt the customs of the nations. They adopt the casting of the lots. The table set for fortune, which Isaiah warned against. You who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune, who fill up cups mixed with wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword. All of you will fall down in slaughter, because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight and chose that which I did not delight. It's said that Purim, the events of Purim in the book of Esther happened about 386 years before the time of Christ. A couple of hundred years after the exile of the southern two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, into exile. They'd gone from Babylon. Many of them might keep migrating farther east, and they ended up in Persia. That's where Mordecai ends up. That's where Esther ends up. They ends up in Persia, Susa, the capital of the Persian Empire. They're foreign people in a foreign land, and they adopt the customs. They adopt the custom of Purim. I'm going to say the last scripture for the end of this, if I remember. It's out of Revelation chapter 17, 1 through 6. Talks about the whore and the beast. The whore and the beast. Imagine that, a whore and a beast. What's a beast in the Bible? The biblical definition of a beast in the Bible is an empire. Go read Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. It's not some, you know, half reptile, half mammalian creature with 19 legs and a couple wings that they're flying. No, it's an empire. It's a worldly empire. The Bible interprets the Bible. You don't need to go out there and eat 15 bad pizzas to figure out what the Bible means, have a trip on LSD or something like it. The Bible interprets the Bible. What's a beast in the Bible? These are global empires. They're world empires. The beasts in the Bible are world empires. And as the book of Esther opens up, it's an empire. It's a kingdom. It's an empire of 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. It's a beast. The beast is this empire of Ahasuerus, in which the story of Haman and Mordecai and Esther and the Jews are set. It's the beast. And the Jews are on the beast. They're in the beast. And they take over the beast. They literally take over the beast. They take over the empire. And you got the whore riding the beast. Esther rides the empire. She insinuates her way in there and takes over. And the whore directs and rides the beast. I shall not sit as a widow. I shall be a queen forever. Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Read it. Esther the whore, riding the beast. Ezekiel 16, the whore of Babylon. Oh, the virgin daughter of Babylon. The virgin daughter of Babylon becomes the whore of Babylon. She sits upon many waters, many nations. As the whore, directing and controlling where the beasts go, where these empires go. Oh, they're God's chosen people. No, Jesus Christ said no, they're Satan's. They're literally Satan's synagogue. And the devil's babies, the Jews are. Saul, the Jew, was an evil man. He was the most wicked man of all. He acknowledged it. He said it. He says, I was the greatest sinner of all, said Saul, the evil Jew. And Jesus Christ grabbed him by his shirt. He pulled him up. He said, Saul, what are you doing? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? This is Jesus Christ whom you are persecuting. And he was blind for 3 days and he got baptized. Immediately he went out and he told the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder him. Go read the book of Revelation again. Who at whose feet is laid the blood of the witnesses of Jesus? At the blood of the whore. At the blood of the whore. At the blood of the whore of Babylon. All the blood shed, including the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Go to that whore. The enemies of Jesus Christ, the enemies of the witnesses of Jesus Christ, always have been, always will be the Jew. The biblical definition of treason is to side with the Jew. That's the biblical definition of treason, is siding with the Jew. Ask Judas Iscariot. Don't ask me. Go read about Judas Iscariot. There was a man called by God, chosen by God, anointed by God, intimately acquainted with Jesus Christ, went with the throng with Jesus Christ in the temple, had sweet fellowship with him, says the prophet. He goes to the Jews. He sides with the Jews. The Jews bribe him. 30 pieces of silver for doing God's work. Believe me, he thought he was doing God's work. Judas Iscariot cast out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He was one of the 12. And he sided with the Jews. The biblical definition of treason is to side with the Jews. Even to the end, he goes up to Jesus Christ and publicly pretends to serve Jesus Christ. Hail, Rabbi! And he greets him with a kiss. Even to the end, he pretends to follow Jesus Christ, but he sided with the Jews. The biblical definition of treason is to side with the Jews. I don't care what you say about Jesus. I don't care if you're casting out demons and healing the sick and preaching the gospel and declaring Jesus Christ. Many will say on that day, Lord, 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 have we not been preaching in your name and casting out demons and healing the sick? He says, I never even knew who you were. I never knew you. And you sided with the Jews. You sided with the Jews like your brother Judas Iscariot. Like your brother Judas Iscariot, you sided with the Jews. The fraternity of Judas Iscariot is huge in the Christian church. It's huge. Oh, Jesus this. Oh, preaching, casting out devils, praying for the sick. The biblical definition of treason is to side with the Jews. How many preachers are taking money from the Jews? Oh, we're going to get a free trip to Israel if we just haul a bunch of people over there, have them pay their way. I get a free trip. How many TV preachers have gotten millions of dollars from them? Because they're being false prophets and deceiving not only the world, but the church. Ahasuerus. The empire. It goes from India to Ethiopia, 127 different provinces. Out of the capital of Susa in Persia. There's turmoil in the kingdom. Vashti, the queen, There's rebellion. They're not too fond of this king. Vashti says, I ain't showing up in my skimpy little outfit to dance before you and your men. I'm not doing it. There's rebellion in the empire. Jews find an opportunity. Mordecai is there. Mordecai is a Jew. He's from the tribe of Benjamin, of the family of Kish. Who came from Kish? Saul the king. Not Saul the apostle, but Saul the king. He gave lip service to Jesus Christ as well, but in the end, he wanted to be friends with the world. Saul, the son of Kish, wanted to be friends with the world. And he refused to execute Agag. Refused to. The prophet said to him, hey, this day the kingdom's been ripped for you. You sought friendship with the world rather than obedience to God. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Mordecai, the Jew. They are exiled and punished for their disobedience to God. They need a new queen. They got a beauty contest going on. Mordecai sees his chance. He doesn't stand in the way. Esther's taken. She goes into the harem of a pagan, godless king. She don't care. Mordecai don't care. They have no allegiance to Jesus Christ. They have no allegiance to God whatsoever. They didn't say, I would rather die than go be in the harem of a pagan king. You read any of those books, they said, don't allow your daughters to be married to these pagan people, nor your sons to their daughters. Don't do that. Where was this? Where was this with Mordecai? Where was this with Esther? They didn't care about that. Couldn't care less. Go for it, Esther. Marry the pagan king. Marry the pagan man. Go sleep with the pagan man. We're going to get power and privilege from this. Forget the covenant we have with God. They forgot that centuries ago. They abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was no hard thing for Mordecai to pimp out his cousin. To pimp out his cousin to the king of the Persians, to the beast. Esther is the type of the whore. Ahasuerus and the Persian Empire are the type of the beast. Go, Esther, sleep with him. It says in Esther chapter 2, verse 10, Esther did not make known her people or her kindred, for Mordecai had instructed her that she should not tell them. Don't tell them who you are. Don't tell them you're a Jew. They blended right in. Couldn't tell a Jew from the non-Jew in this context. Sound familiar to you? It ought to sound familiar to you. It's the same today. They hide in the Jew hides in plain sight. Don't count us. Don't call us a Jew. Don't notice that we're a Jew. Only notice we're a Jew when we want to claim special victims' rights. And, oh, you better bow down before me. Same today in the United States of America. Don't notice the Jew until you bow before them and you give them special victims' rights. Story of Esther is the same thing. In the United States today, you must be counted if you're white or black or Hispanic or Native American or Pacific Islanders. There's categories legally for all those people. There's no category for the Jew. There's no category for the Jew except when they want to be the victim. Same story with the story of Esther. Hide in plain sight, Esther. Don't tell anybody what you are. They can't notice who you are. You're not supposed to notice that the head of DHS is a Jew. The head of a department of another department is a Jew. You're not supposed to notice this. You're not supposed to notice that 3 out of the 9 Supreme Court justices were Jews until Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And then they put a black woman up there that can't define what a woman is. I don't know if that's worse than worse. Oh, but you're not supposed to notice that. Where did they learn this? They learned this out of the book of Esther. Don't let them know who you are, Esther. Don't let them know. Don't let them know until it's valuable to us, until we can claim to be the victim. She wiled her way in there. She had great favor with Haggai and then Ahasuerus. Oh, we love Esther. Esther's great. She's beautiful. So she found favor with Ahasuerus, found favor with Haggai. Esther 2:20. Esther had not yet made known her kindred or her people, even as Mordecai had commanded her. What do you have to do in the United States today? Everybody, oh no, he's black. He's Hispanic. He's Asian. You can't say Jew. Can't say it. Can't say it. Esther did not yet make known her kindred or her people. The book of Esther is a playbook for the Jews, and it's a warning to those of us who are not Jews. Hide it. You can't notice this. You can't hide it in plain sight. You can't notice this until we want to claim victim status, which Esther will do, and we'll see that. Mordecai is a snitch. Like I said, there's turmoil in the empire. There's rebellion in the empire. I don't get any sense that Ahasuerus was some great and noble leader like Nebuchadnezzar was. He was drinking with Haman. His own wife had no respect for him. Other people wanted to assassinate him. There was trouble in the empire. And Mordecai, like the Jews in the time of Jesus Christ, pretended a false loyalty to Ahasuerus. He sniffed out a rebellion, and he snitched on these two guys. These two guys were hung, and he wiled his way into the favor of Ahasuerus. Not any different than the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sanhedrin in the time of Jesus Christ, who said, "We have no king but Caesar." Lying, false loyalties. We're going to pretend to be loyal to Caesar, and we're going to rat out Jesus Christ, and we're going to take Jesus Christ before the Roman governor and say, "See this guy? He's a competitor of yours. He's trying to raise a rebellion to you. We're loyal to Caesar." Same as Mordecai's doing with Ahasuerus. He's a lying snitch. He was a lying snitch. He had no loyalty to Ahasuerus. The whole book of Esther is about loyalty to the Jew. There's no loyalty to God in the book of Esther. None. So he's a snitch. Oh, Ahasuerus, these two guys, they want to do a little rebellion thing. So, of course, Ahasuerus takes that up, deals with that situation. Now Ahasuerus has favor. Yet at the same time, Mordecai refused to obey the laws of Ahasuerus. When Haman came by, he says, "I'm not bound to you, but the king told you, you had to do this. You had to give Haman honor, because by giving Haman honor, you're honoring Ahasuerus." It wasn't Haman's law. It wasn't Haman's idea. It was Ahasuerus' idea. It was the emperor's idea. "Oh, screw that. I'm not doing that," says Mordecai. He had no loyalty whatsoever to the empire. None. He had no loyalty to Ahasuerus. None. He refused to obey Ahasuerus' law. Wouldn't do it. This was not about being a good citizen to him. He did the snitch to wile his way into power and favor. Mordecai the snitch. He pretends loyalty. He refuses to obey the king's command. And he's challenging, "Why do you transgress the king's commandment?" Defiant, arrogant. He's not going to do it. Therefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews throughout the kingdom. Haman noticed something. Hey, these people, they're not loyal to the empire. They're not loyal to Ahasuerus. They're not loyal to us as an empire, as a nation. They're divisive. They seek their own goals. They seek their own ways. They seek their own benefit above all others. They have no yearning or desire whatsoever to be a member of this kingdom or support the agenda. They got a separate agenda. And they'll undermine and destroy this kingdom if we let them. And he told the Ahasuerus, we got to get rid of them. We got to drive them out. We got to kill them. Because they will. You either destroy them or they will destroy you. Says Haman to Ahasuerus. Haman's warning Ahasuerus. He's warning the emperor. He says, listen, these Jews, they will destroy you. They will destroy this empire unless you deal with them. Ahasuerus said, okay, let's go for it, man. Get rid of them. Oh, and here the plot thickens. Haman knew. He saw these Jews as undermining the kingdom, seeking their own good, not the good of the nation that they lived in. Mordecai is proof of that. He said, I'm not going to obey the king's law. Screw the king. Forget the king. But he's a snitch. Just like the Jews were of 2,000 years ago. They snitched on Jesus Christ. Oh, we got another king here. Raising a rebellion. Murder him. Murder him. Murder him. Murder Jesus Christ. These hypocritical Jews, they said, well, we're too good to murder Jesus Christ. So, Pilate, you go murder Jesus Christ. And they pretended loyalty to Caesar. Jesus Christ is standing before Pilate. Pilate tells the Jews, I see no fault in him. The Jews say back to Pilate, hey, if you let him go, you're no friend of Caesar's. And we got people in the court in Rome. They blackmailed him. And Jesus went to the cross. Martyred by the Jews, according to the Holy Scriptures, according to the Bible, you will never find in the Bible that even Jesus Christ, he's standing before Pilate. He says, hey, Pilate, yeah, you got fault here. But the one who has the greater fault are those people that turned me over to you. Don't listen to the lies of the Jews that somehow it's not their fault. The blood of Jesus should not be laid on them. Haman says, there's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. All right? This is a rootless people. They're scattered about in all these different provinces. Their laws are different than ours. They have different loyalties. Clearly they're not loyal to you, Ahasuerus. They don't observe the king's laws. We saw that right there with Mordecai. They do not observe the king's laws. So it's not in the king's interest to let them remain. This is a warning to every non-Jewish people, every non-Jewish country. It's not in your interest to let them remain. They don't follow your laws. They don't follow your customs. They will undermine your authority and overthrow you. This is right in the Holy Scriptures. The book of Esther is a playbook for the Jew, and it's a warning to everybody that's not a Jew. Paul himself, he warned people. He says the Jews are the enemies of all mankind. They're hostile to all peoples. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:15, they're hostile to all mankind. Esther was a warning of that. Again, like I've said before, this isn't two or three odd scriptures throughout the Bible. It's embedded in the nature of the Holy Scriptures from Esther through the Revelation. They were supposed to be an example of a people, the sons of Israel were. Jews become a different people. And we'll see that in the book of it. The Jews become an entirely different people. They amalgamate with other peoples. And they abandon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They took up their new God. They set a table for chance and destiny. Purim is chance. Purim is the casting of the lots. Esther 8, verse 11. The king granted. Okay. All right. So this is the point where Esther says, okay, I'm going to play the victim card now. She goes up there and she does her little wily ways with the emperor. I know you love me. I know you love me more than anybody, emperor. But that evil Haman, he wants to destroy us. So the weak-willed emperor, he says, oh, okay, well, what do you want? She said, I want to take over. I want Mordecai to be your second in command. He puts Mordecai, the evil Jew, second in command for the entire Persian Empire. They pass new laws, and the Jews go out and they slaughter 75,000 people who never laid a finger on them. There's no evidence in the book of Esther that anybody laid a finger on the Jews. And they went out and they took power. Mordecai becomes number two in command. Here's another thing they do. They'll keep a figurehead of the native population in command, yet the court is full of Jews. Same in the United States government today. Ahasuerus was a native Persian. Number two is the Jew, and Ahasuerus' wife is a Jew too, a Jewess. Oh, let's keep somebody out in front so nobody notices. We'll keep a non-Jew out in front so nobody notices. Oh, yeah, how convenient is that? It's Esther's a playbook for the Jews. It's a warning to the Gentiles. So the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city that they might assemble and defend their lives to destroy and kill and annihilate the entire army of people or province which might attack them, including children and women, and plunder and spoil. So what happens? They go out and they murder 75,000 people who never laid a finger on them. Never. Listen, this is a pattern. It's a repeatable pattern. It's the playbook of the Jews. It's a template for how it works. It's an eternal book. It's not going away. You think it's changed? Who took over the Soviet Union? Who took over? Who ran the gulags? Who ran the prisons? Who ran the Secret Service? The Jews did. And they went out and they murdered literally millions of Christian Russians. Murdered them. Murdered them. Who assisted in the African invasion of Christian Spain in the 700s? The Jews assisted the Muslim as they went out to genocide the whites and Christians. Nothing's changed. Esther's a playbook for the Jews. It's a template for the Jews. And it's a warning to everybody else. And the church abandons this message. Biblical treason is siding with the Jews. And the church in the United States today has sided with the Jews. Esther 8, verse 17, and among the peoples of the land, many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews was upon them. Now, how do you become a Jew in the land of the Persian Empire? You can't change your parents. You can't change your ancestry. You can't change who your great-granddaddy was. They adopted the customs of the Jews, which were not the customs of Moses, which were not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They followed Purim. They adopted the Talmud. We're going to follow your Talmudic ways. This is before the Talmud was written down. It was the precepts and traditions of the elders. These people converted. So we're going to be Jews too. They couldn't change their biology. They're spiritual trannies. They're spiritual trannies. We're going to adopt your religion. That happened in the Persian Empire 400 years before the time of Christ. It happened 200 years before the time of Christ. The sons of Edom, the sons of Esau, whom God hated, converted to the Talmud. They converted to the traditions of the Jews. King Herod became a Jew. King Herod was a Jew. He was a spiritual trainee. He became, biologically, he was from Edom, from Esau, whom God hated. And they'll go out there and tell, oh, we don't convert. We don't proselytize. We don't convert anybody. They're liars. They've been liars from the beginning. You see it in the book of Esther. People are converting to the religion of the Jews, which has nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I did tell you that this was going to be a contrarian point of view on Esther, and I will hold fast to this till the day I die. Esther 9, verse 2, for the dread of the Jews had fallen upon the peoples. Is that not the same today? Is that not the same today in the United States? Nobody can speak against a Jew. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. You'll be driven out of your workplace. You'll be condemned as a Hitler and a Nazi and a fascist. fascist, if you say anything against a Jew, an evil Jew, if you notice that Epstein is a Jew who molested all the little kids, you can't notice that because of the dread of the Jews is upon the Americans and upon the Christian church. The dread of the Jew is upon the Christian church. They're terrified of the Jews, and the church has converted to become Judeo-Christians. Judeo-Christians. You got a little squeaky guy on the radio every day. Judeo-Christian this, Judeo-Christian that. You know him, AM radio. Little Jew. Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christians. He is implementing the plan to convert the Christian church to Judaism. Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian. The people fear the Jews, and they converted. Biblical treason is siding with the Jews. Siding with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ. Ask Judas Iscariot. Esther 9, verse 3. Here we go. Tell me this is not true today in America. All the princes of the provinces and the satraps and the governors and those who led, they were doing the king's business. They assisted the Jews because the dread of the Jews was upon them. You cross the Jews and they will destroy you. ADL will go after you and demand that you be fired from your job, your bank account shut down. They will hound you. They will drive you. And biblically, they drive you out of the synagogue. If you're driven out of the synagogue 2,000 years ago, you couldn't work. You couldn't rent a place. Nobody would buy from you. Nobody would sell to you. You're a de-person, de-platform, demonized, dehumanized. Nothing's changed. And all that, it originated even before. Even in the book of Esther, people were terrified of the Jews. The dread of the Jews was upon them. Many just converted. Well, I'll just be a Jew. These people committed treason and harlotry against their God. They became the whore. Ezekiel 16, this is the people that become the whore of Babylon. And this is their harlotry in the Persian Empire. They subvert the empire. They keep Ahasuerus as the figurehead. And they run the place and they murder their opponents. And there's no reference to the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob in the book of Esther. These are their TTPs. You want more of the TTPs of the Jews? Read the book of Acts. Read the Gospel according to St. John. Then read 1 and 2 John. Then read Revelation and get Jesus' final word on the Jews. Esther 9:16. 75,000 they murdered. 75,000 they murdered. They never laid a hand on the Jews. It's all notional. You don't think that's going to happen in the United States? You don't think it's happening now? All the governors, and they're terrified of the Jews. They do whatever the Jews want. It's the same thing. Esther 9, verse 20. Mordecai, he obliged the Jews to celebrate the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day annually. This is a new religion. Has nothing to do with Moses. Has nothing to do with the law. Has nothing to do of what God told them to do, or Passover, or the Feast of Booths, or anything like that. No, this is completely new. Completely new religion. So we're going to celebrate the murder of our opponents, and we're going to call it Purim, which is the god of chance and fortune, which the prophet warned him not to go into. You set a table for fortune. And here they have a new national holiday for Purim, which is casting of the lot. It's the god of fortune, and they celebrate it to this day. Therefore, they called the days Purim. The Jews established it and made it a custom for themselves and their descendants, and for all those allied with them. For all those allied with them. Church, you've allied yourselves with the Jews. You've committed treason against Jesus Christ. You've joined the fraternity of Judas Iscariot. You still give lip service to Jesus, call him rabbi, greet him with a kiss, but you've sided with the Jew. That's the biblical definition of treason. Esther 9, verse 28. So these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family and province and city. The days of Purim were not to fail among the Jews or their memory from their descendants. Moses did not set this up. This is not a people that serves God. This is a people that abandoned God. They were traitors. They were harlots. Esther is the harlot. Esther's the harlot. She's riding the beast. It's a type and shadow of everything that is to come. It's a type and shadow of how the world works. They're not from that land. They're not from those people. They go in there, they subvert the empire and destroy it. And you go read the book of Revelation, Revelation 17. Hey, I want to show you the whore. Who's the whore? Read Ezekiel 16. The virgin daughter of Babylon becomes the whore of Babylon. The Jews, they forsake the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they ride and control the beast, which is an empire. It's a world. It's the worldly empires. Mordecai sent forth letters to establish the days of Purim. Mordecai, the Jew, was second only to Ahasuerus. See what I'm saying? You keep the figurehead in place. Nobody's supposed to notice who's in charge here. Mordecai, the Jew, is second only to Ahasuerus. Nothing's changed. Same TTPs. And yet it's a warning. He sought the good of his people. There you go. They seek the good of their own people. Forget everybody else. They seek the good of their own people. And they set tables mixed for fortune and destiny. Let me close out with this. Revelation 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot." Who's the great harlot? Read Ezekiel 16. Esther's also a harlot. Who are the nations of the world? Who are the nations of the world? Well, the Persian Empire is an example of the nations of the world. 127 provinces. I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Okay, those are all the different nations with whom the kings of the earth committed immorality. Those who dwell on the earth were made drunk by the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away into the spirit, and I saw the woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones, and having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. Ezekiel 16 and the book of Esther. What's one of the greatest blasphemies? It's too much. We'll do that another time. In her hand is a gold cup full of abominations of the unclean things of her immorality, and on her forehead and on her name is written Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She's the mother of harlots. These are the people that sacrificed their kids to Satan. Learned the customs of the nations and burned their kids alive to Moloch, which it's a continue way. Would we continue that with the practice of abortion? Planned Parenthood was set up by another Jew, Margaret Sanger. And now you've got the Jews pushing hard for the butchery of live children to make a boy into a girl and vice versa. Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations. That's an abomination. And I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. There's only one group of people that fits that. Who's drunk with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus Christ? Go read the Gospel according to St. John, and then go read the book of Acts. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.